Let's take our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Ephesians. We have finally made it to chapter 5. Now, we're not going to get very far in chapter 5 tonight. This is a fascinating chapter. The second half of the chapter, we oftentimes assume that it has everything to do with marriage, and that actually is not at all what that chapter is about. Now, it gives us a great deal of information about marriage, but God has something else in His sights in the second half of chapter 5, but I get ahead of myself. We've got a section that includes the first 20 verses before we get to the second half. And I've just simply titled it Three Walks. But three times we're told to walk a certain way. That plays into what we're going to look at tonight. Verse number 1, Ephesians 5, 1. Be therefore, what's that next word? Followers. Followers of God as dear children. And thus the three walks fit right into what the theme of these 20 verses are. Following God as dear children. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us now as we consider a few simple thoughts. May your Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts and our minds. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening I simply want to consider what it means to follow God. I think that would be the desire of all of our hearts here this evening. I don't think we would be here on a Sunday evening if it wasn't our desire to follow God. It's a term or a phrase that we might use frequently, but really, what does God mean when He tells us He wants us to be a follower of Him? And so, as we consider this thought, I want us to keep in mind that following God is both life's greatest duty, but it is also life's greatest privilege to be able to be a follower of God. Now, let's define what it is to be a follower of God. And to define it, we're just going to let God's Word do the defining for us. Look over in 2 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to be doing a lot of jumping around in the Scriptures tonight as we consider what is it that God wants us to do when He asks us to follow Him. What is He talking about? And so we begin in 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 6. The Bible tells us, "For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses." And so here God tells us that following him involves keeping God's commandments. We know those commandments, that we could essentially summarize them as the Ten Commandments, but we know that there's a great deal many more commandments in the Word of God. If we're going to be a follower of God, we're going to be a keeper of God's commandments. Look back in 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. We have so many verses, I'm not going to be able to really elaborate a long time on any one of these. We just need to keep moving in order to understand what it is that God is asking us to do in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, when He says, "Be followers of God as dear children." 1 Kings chapter 14, verse number 8, "And he rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee. And yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in mine eyes." So now we have an addition to just keeping the commandments. If we're to follow God, it's not just keeping his commandments, although it is involving keeping his commandments, but it also involves those areas where the Bible doesn't necessarily say thou shalt not or thou shalt. It's just simply considering every action that we are making a decision to do or to not do, or every decision that we had to make in life. It has that idea of thinking before we make the decision, does this please God? Is this acceptable to God? Is this something He would smile upon should I do it? Or is this something He should frown upon should I do it? David was concerned with those things. And even though when we think about this, we're thinking, well, this is breaking life down into making it too complicated. But David did it. God says David was a man after his own heart. The Bible tells us David followed God with all his heart here. In order to do that, we have to be concerned with doing that which is right in the eyes of God. Okay, we're talking about following God as dear children, a command that we find in in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Look, if you would, in the New Testament, in the book of Luke. And so we understand that if we're going to be a follower of God, we're going to keep His commandments. If we're going to be a follower of God, then we must be concerned with doing only that which is right in the eyes of God. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, we have something else thrown into the picture or into the mix of what it is to follow God. If we're going to follow God, we need to understand what God expects of us. I mean, we can say all we want till we're blue in the face that I am a follower of God. And if we don't do it as the Lord expects, we have never become a follower of God. It's easy to say it. It's a whole other thing to actually do it. And so if we're going to be a follower of God, we're going to keep His commandments. We're going to do only that which is right in His eyes. Luke chapter 9, verse number 23. Here the Bible says, and He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so we understand that following God involves denying ourselves and taking up that cross. Now, the idea behind taking up the cross means death to self. Consider ourselves dead. Now, a corpse has no desires, it has no will, it has no whims, it has no preferences. And so what Jesus is saying is we just simply need to yield ourselves in our entirety, our mind, our hearts, our bodies, yield it all to Him and do as He bids us do. That's following. That's following. Anything less is not following. How does your life stack up? I'm asking myself that same question. Because we're commanded. It's not an option. It's not something, well, if you want to, here's what you can do. It's a command in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Too often we emphasize the as children. And certainly we can do that, and I have that in my notes, although I doubt very highly we'll get that far this evening. But too often we emphasize the as dear children, and we overlook the following fact. And yet God has placed in His Word a great deal of information as to the idea of following God. If we're going to be a follower, we're going to keep His commandments. If we're going to be a follower, we'll do only that which is right in His eyes. If we're going to be a follower, we're going to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. Same chapter, but towards the end of the chapter, verses 61 and 62, we find a fourth part of our definition of what it is to be a follower, a definition of what it is to be a follower. We need to understand it if we're ever going to do it in our lives. Verses 61, Luke 9, 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow Thee. But, now there's a lot of Christians that stop right there. I will follow, but. Well, let's read on. But let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. This man volunteered and said, I'll follow. He said, first let me do something, which to us sounds quite reasonable. And Jesus is essentially saying that if you are delaying following Him by anything, or if you are distracted by something else that takes you away from doing what you ought to be doing, then you're not following. To put the hand to the plow would be to follow. But to put the hand to the plow and then look backward is going to make that plow go in something other than a straight line. And so Jesus is telling us that if we're going to follow, there will be no delay. If we say, I'm going to follow him, but I'm going to start tomorrow, or I'm going to start later on, or I'm going to start next week or next month, or until this happens in my life, then we are not a follower of God. We can't delay, nor can we get distracted by the things in our lives. If we're going to follow, we're going to have our eyes focused on our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 is all about. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12. We're familiar, especially with verse number 1, where the Bible tells us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But so often we don't remember or focus in on verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now in verse number 2, we're given our focus. If we're to be careful about delay or distraction in our lives by focusing on Christ, so that all these other things pale into insignificance and don't cause us to stray from the path, we need to look to Jesus in order to do that. But the same verse tells us all that Jesus, in going to the cross, fulfilled all the requirements of following. He kept God's commandments. He became our Savior. He went to the cross, even though on the Mount of Olives, he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. He asked if this cup could pass. Nevertheless, he was obedient to the commandment of God. Jesus, in doing so, was concerned with only doing that which was right in the Father's eyes. Definitely denied himself and took up his cross. And he did it without delay or distraction. Jesus was a follower, and now we're to focus our sights on him and follow him as God commands us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So that's a definition, a four-part definition of following. Now, the Bible also describes what it is to be a follower. And he does so both negatively and positively. Let's look at negatively first. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. What if we choose not to? What if we choose not to? Well, that has happened. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 4, the Bible reads, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. And so we find that not following kindles the Lord's anger against someone. Now, God has given it to us as a commandment, not an option there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. It's a command. But as with every other command, God gives us a free will. That free will says, I can follow or I can choose not to follow. God wants you to know the consequences of not following. He says here, the first consequence that we're going to see is that not following kindles God's anger against the individual making that choice. And he gives a very severe consequence of having his anger kindled against us in that God will destroy thee suddenly. That's not a pleasant picture. Suddenly, to me, speaks of unexpectedness. It'll seem that everything's going along fine, that, yeah, I can live without following God. I can live without being what I ought to be for God. And yeah, God may have his anger kindled against me, but I can deal with this. Things are going okay. Then all of a sudden, bam, God lowers the hammer on us. And destruction occurs in our lives. We're kind of then shrugging our shoulders and scratching our head and crying out, I don't understand what happened. Well, it all goes back to the decision to disobey God's command to be a follower. Let's look in 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. Second Kings chapter 17, verse number 21. For he rent the Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. Now that sinning a great sin, of course, could be a reference to the golden calf worship that he instituted. But I think the great sin is just that Jeroboam caused them to depart from serving God, to depart from following the Lord. And so what God is telling us here is that it's a great sin if we refuse to follow God, if we exercise our free will and say, I will not follow God. I will do my own thing. I will take my chances. I will endure the risk. And if bad things happen, bad things happen, but at least I made my own choice and made my own life. God says it's a great sin for us to do that. And it helps us understand when God lowers the boom on us and brings that severe chastisement or that severe judgment into our lives, we'll understand why it happened. Because in God's eyes, that even though to us this seems like a very minimal thing to choose not to follow Him, in God's eyes it's a great sin. There aren't a lot of things in the Bible that God says are a great sin. But refusing to follow Him, God says this is a great sin. Look back in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We're looking at following described negatively. In other words, not following. We've seen that it kindles the Lord's anger. We've seen that not following is a great sin. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. God is telling us that if we exercise our free will and choose not to follow God, God says that that individual is not worthy of his Savior. Those are some pretty, to me, concerning words. I would never want to say of myself, I am not worthy of Christ. Now, there's a sense where none of us are worthy because God reaches down and saves a sinner. But when we're forgiven and we're redeemed, God loves us and He assures us that if we follow Him and if we walk the way He wants us to walk, where He wants us to walk, when He wants us to walk, that then He showers us with His love and He showers us with His blessing, and we're worthy of those things because we're pleasing in His sight. But when we choose not to follow, we're no longer worthy in His sight. We're no longer worthy of those things in our lives from God. That's if we choose not to follow. I don't ever want that to be said of me. And akin to that, let's turn back to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 32. Numbers, chapter 32. We're looking at not following described in the Word of God. Numbers, chapter 32, verse number 11. It would have been a lot easier for all of us if I had just come up with a message on my own about not following or about following, but I think it's more important for us to see what God has to say on the subject. I don't ever want my words to be my words. I would prefer my words to be God's words. And what I want you to do tonight is just realize how important it is to be a follower of God as dear children, and encourage you to make that decision that I will be a follower of God as a dear child, no matter where He may lead me, no matter what path it may be, no matter how dark it may be on that path, no matter what works or service are involved in that path, I will do it. I'll take up my cross. I'll deny myself. I'll do only that which is right in the eyes of God. My prayer is that you'll be encouraged to make that decision tonight. Even if you've been following, to affirm that decision tonight, that I will do what God wants me to do. I will be His follower. All right, hopefully by now you're in Numbers chapter 32, verse number 11. Numbers 32, 11. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Now, obviously, this is in reference to the 12 spies that went into the land, the promised land, and they came back. And of course, as Jacob and Caleb said, let's go get them. It's ours. God promised it. But the other 10 said, we can't do it. God is not able. And the nation, of course, believed the 10 over the 2. And they refused to go. And that's who God's talking about when He says that they will not enter the land. And so, a consequence of not following is sacrificing the blessings that God had planned. Now, they knew the blessing, at least those 10 did, and the people did to an extent. Because you remember, they brought back that cluster of grapes attached to a pole that was carried on the arms of two strong men. That's how large it was. I mean, you go to Meijer, you pick it up in a little bag. And anyone of any strength pretty much can pick up that little bag of grapes. And usually in that little bag of grapes, there's two clusters. I can't imagine going to Meijer's and filling up the whole grocery cart with one cluster of grapes. That's essentially the equivalent of what was going on there in the promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey, as good and as rich as God had described to the Jews to whet their appetites to follow Him. But now the time came to follow, and they said, no, we won't follow because we don't like the way the path looks. It looks too difficult for us, and our faith in God is not that great. We don't think God can deliver us. If you'd read it, you'd find that they said, we are as grasshoppers in their sights. And God said, okay, if that's your choice, you have your free will. Therefore, you will not, under any circumstance, enjoy the blessings I have planned for your life. I want the blessings. I don't know about you, but I want the blessings. I know the blessings of God are always good, and they're always satisfying. They always, by far, to the point of not even being comparable, they far outweigh any cost it would take to travel the path that God asks us to travel. It's worth it. It's worth it. I can't imagine at the end of the lives of these as they're dying off in the wilderness, having never experienced and then seeing their children grow up and endure the hardships of the traveling life and the nomadic life, when God's plan for them and their little children and their families was to settle down and enjoy the riches of the land that God has promised. I can't imagine what was going through their minds as they were on their deathbed and looking back and saying, oh, how I wish I had made that choice to follow God when we had the opportunity. When the door was opened, I wish I had gone through it. And though it may have cost me my life in the battle for the land, I wish I had done it for my children's sake. But God gave them a choice, just as He gives you a choice tonight. He commands us, be ye followers of God as dear children. Those are the negative aspects. We'll save the positive aspects for next week. I've got 9 of those. The good things if we'll do it. But tonight I want to encourage you. Following God is keeping His commandments. Only doing that which is right in His eyes. Denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily without delay or distraction. The price of exercising your free will and saying, no, I will not do those things, is not worth it. Are tragic. It kindles the Lord's anger against you, for it's a great sin, making you unworthy of Christ and sacrificing the blessings of God in your life. follow Christ. Make that decision or affirm that decision tonight. Father, we're grateful for your word. Thank you that you give us such extensive information on this one subject. Paul, that tells me it's awfully important in your eyes. Even though we may not estimate it so, Father, the wealth of information included in your word gives us your attitude towards it. Father, help us to realize the importance of this one command. And Father, help us to desire to do that, to be a follower of you as dear children above all else. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.